You're listening to Wavelength on BFM 89.9.
That's right, you're locked into Wavelength, bringing you the best sounds from the Asian region with me, Off New Thing. It's one full hour of only Asian music as usual. This week on the show, I'll be joined by Nusantara psychedelic rock band Ramayan. The trio will be joining me via Zoom later on to tell me more about their latest album. It's called The Pesiaran Cakrawala. But in the meantime, let's take you back to 1979. Here's one from Indonesian band Chasero. It's taken from their 1979 album Pemuda. Gemilang right here on Wavelength, BFM 89.9.
Thank you.
Indonesian reggae rockers Rub of Rub with Oriental Exotic. Right after this, I'll be joined by local band Ramayan. In the meantime, something from their new album. This one's called Moronic from Ramayan, right here on Wavelength. Stay tuned. Wavelength, bringing you the best sounds from the Asian region. I'm your host, Afnin Thing. Right now, joining me via Zoom is the band Ramayan. Hey, guys.
What's up? Woo. Zoom.
They've just released their new album on physical format, the Pasiaran Cakrawala. It's in Shah Alam, right? Pasiaran Cakrawala.
Subang Bestari.
Yeah, to be exact, Subang Bestari.
Basically, prior to that, we used to jam the studio by that was owned by this guy, Zaha, who's the guitarist for Pita Hati. We just jammed there all the time, and then at one point we just decided, okay, you know, we would like a place for ourselves, you know, because we don't want to pay the jamming fees, and yeah, we don't want to have to be restricted by time, right? So we wanted a studio for ourselves. And coincidentally, my brother Hidayat, he was opening up like a carpentry, a wood workshop for himself, and you know, there was a, it was like in a warehouse. And there was an upper floor available, so we were like, okay, why don't we just use this opportunity? You know, like let's just go in, you know, and you know, at first we were like, tak bayar lah, tapi then we were like, okay, no, kena bayar lah sikit. And yeah, so we went in and we decided, okay, we're gonna start basically doing everything Ramayan there lah, kan? That's how the whole thing started, basically.
And congrats on the release of the album. It's finally out. I know you guys have been saying you guys have been working on the album for years and years, but it's finally out, your debut album. Are you guys more relieved now? How are you guys feeling?
Yeah, I think we're feeling more relief, and all those worries have gone away after we released the album. You know, like we've been keeping the materials for so long, and yeah, I think we are more than relieved lah to just release all the albums, all the songs.
Well, it felt like forever. The process was so long, 2 years in the making, but basically the recording was just done in a month. We had Monogascaro being with us for a month, so we wanted to maximize our time with him. We managed to cram everything, the recordings of the drums, bass, synthesizers, vocals in 1 month. And then took a very long time to mix it according to our own preferences and taste, just finding the right spot for everything. In the computer, there's like Lamunan 1, Lamunan, and like so many versions of final of Lamunan, like Lamunan final for real, Lamunan final for real, you know? So I guess the mixing was the thing that took most time. And then the mastering was just done in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So the whole thing was just 2 years, and finally it's out. Because we had to sort of stop or else it would never be out.
Yeah.
Right now, we're still not happy with sometimes if, like, you know, when you started listening back, oh, I think this could be, you know, done in a different way. But I guess that's just the, you know, I mean, like that.
Tame Impala, I think he fixed borderline how many times already, right? There, like, how many versions?
Yeah. In fact, actually, like, Lamunan Nak Bulan, the one in the album is different. It has a different mix. So it's sort of like borderline version 2, kind of. Yeah.
Speaking of Mondo Gascaro, I remember he posted a picture with you guys back in 2018. And in the caption, he wrote 10 songs in 20 days. Are you guys really making him work hard?
Yeah. Kind of, but I think it was he was happy to do that, you know he was you know, we gave him a homestay, so I don't think he has anything to complain, you know. Yeah. So yeah, it was good, you know. It wasn't like a 20 tiring days, it was good 20 days
quality.
Yeah, I remember this one time Mundo said to me, it's like, oh, 20 days, it's very ambitious, but it happened anyway.
One of the things we wanted to achieve most is that 70s like vintage retro feels without compromising the clarity, you know, because a lot of like songs or bands like Anomoto Orchestra, like the earlier stuff, it's very lo-fi, but then you see now the newer stuff, it's lo-fi, but then it still has that modern punch, you know. Mm-mm. So we wanted to sort of find that blend and balance. Yeah, but I'm glad we got that. Mondo, his contribution, it's mostly on the cleaning up part, sort of like the technicality of our playing. Like he was taking care of the tempo, and some of the songs he did help with the arrangement, like not to get so draggy, so he would probably advise, or maybe you could, you know, cut it 4 bars or something like that. And he would mostly play around with the sound designing of the keyboards because that's his forte, right? Mm-mm. So especially in Puas, there's this line, the synthesizer line. He was like, our keyboardist Nas, he was playing the line, but he was at the same time tweaking knobs. So that was mostly his contribution. Like songwriting wise, it was just already there, like lyrics and melody, everything. But he just sort of provided the finishing touches, spices, and some tweaking. Yeah.
How much of a factor did Vintage Gears play in the making of this new album?
I would say like 50% maybe. I wouldn't say like we used totally like Vintage Gears all the way. Because, you know, to actually obtain Vintage Gears, like truly Vintage Gears, to get Vintage Gears from A to Z, it's wow, you know. So you have to take a lot of time to repair, a lot of money to repair them. So we didn't know, it wasn't fully vintage, but like mostly it was like our instruments that were vintage, and probably some of the amplifiers. For example, I used an ELK amp. It was a bass amp actually, but it can be used for guitar too. And our guitarist at that time, Amin, he was using my amp also sometimes, and he was using his own old Yamaha amp, you know. So yeah, so that was that. But in terms of like, for example, maybe the outboards, you know, and mixing part, you know, there wasn't a lot of vintageness in terms of the technique of the mixing.
For me, I actually invested quite the amount to get the stuff that I wanted to use in this album. Like A to Z, there were, I think, except for like the cymbals, yeah, it was all vintage. Like from, I used two different drums, Rogers, 60s Rogers, 70s Ludwig, and 60s Mike, like Sennheiser and AKG, Neumann. And then I bought this snare, just particular snare just for this recording. This was one thing I got that really contributed to the sound, which was the compressor, the VX165A. I got it for cheap. Most of the stuff I got is, I think, a fraction of the price. So like, that's what we do a lot of times. For the synthesizers, there's one that's just 60 ringgit, but we used it a lot on this album. So I guess, yeah, instruments-wise, it was mostly vintage, but the recording equipments, it's more like a hybrid thing.
It was mostly on our side, all those instruments, you know, like for me, like the bass, and for the guitars, for the drums, it's mostly on our side. But from the studio wise, I think it's a hybrid of digital and analog.
Listening to the song, I'm hearing maybe some harps as well. I don't know whether I'm hearing accordions as well. There's a lot of like different things.
Yeah, a lot of them were, I think, part of them were actually played. For example, we used a melodeon for one of the songs. We used a melodeon for Puas, which our guitarist played that time.
Is it the keyboard tapi you...
No. It's the one that you blow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the plastic one, you know, the blow. Yeah, that one. You know, we couldn't afford that one. It's hard to find that one. You know, it's not that easy. Like melodeon, you can find it anywhere these days. You can go to Jalan Jalan Japan and you can find it. So we used the melodeon for that one. But the harp was programming.
Synthesizer, yeah.
I think it was a Roland Juno, but it wasn't a vintage Juno. It was like a modern Juno, which our engineer at that time, Analog K, by the way, Analog K was the engineer for this album. He brought his keyboard that time, and we were just like basically tweaking around, and we found this nice harp sound. Because we wanted the harp sound, so we were just looking for this sound, but we couldn't find it with vintage synths, because like the sounds were just not like accurate sometimes, you know what I mean? With the digital keyboard, like, it was easy to find like an exact sound.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, yeah. It's basically like, you know, we're faking the vintageness, you know, in the not 100%, but like, you know, sometimes.
Well, it's more budget friendly, right? I mean,
yeah,
more like,
yeah,
exactly. emulate.
I love how in the album you guys are not really afraid to wear your influences on your sleeves, because, you know, whether it's pulling the Paul McCartney sounding bassline or the Mitch Mitchell drums, you know, for Signal, or like Todd Rundgren's I Saw the Light riff for Jakarta, I think you guys really managed to pull off blending in your own influences with like people that you're inspired by.
Yeah, we love them, you know. See, let's say we really before we were a band, you know, most of us were you know, we had like our own genres to ourselves, you know. We weren't listening to all these like vintage music, and then when we got together, we sort of like decided, okay, let's play psychedelic, right? And then we used a lot of these guys as our references, you know. This album is like it was like an effort to sort of like combine all these influences, but also at the same time make it ours.
Mm-mm.
Because it's hard, you know, like, well, you like this music so much, but then you don't want your band to be defined by that specific music. You don't want to be like, oh, Ramayan, oh, they're 70s, you know, because then we'll just be like some revivalist band.
Yeah.
So This album was like an effort to basically try to find that ground, you know, where we can say, okay, this is our music, not anybody else's.
Mm-mm.
This is our music, yeah. Because this album, we weren't like, okay, let's make one concept album which has one type of sound, you know. We were just like, you know what, whatever that's in your head, just take it out. That's how we got this sound, yeah.
In this album, I tried to get my own sound by sort of combining and see, like, is this sort of an experimental stage for me? So I was just like experimenting with different styles and different tones, and the two drums and two snares and different cymbals and placings. Jakarta's drums and Moronic is different, and Tulamunan and Ambulan is different. So I guess it was just sort of me trying to find my own sound, but like also like show that influence that's in my playing.
I'm speaking to the trio from the band Ramayan. We'll be back after a short break. In the meantime, here's another one from that brand new album, Di Persiaran Cakrawala, Ramayan with Jakarta, on Wavelength BFM 89.9. You're still tuned into Wavelength, bringing you the best sounds from the Asian region. Right now, I'm joined by the band Ramayan, and I've been finding out more details about their latest album, Dipasaran Chakrawala.
I also love that the songs are quite long and jammy, because these days, right, all the songs are very short, under 3 minutes, and that's to make it Spotify playlist friendly. But you guys are making it to sit down and really spend time with the full album. Was the track duration something that you guys discussed about?
Yeah, I think the duration of the song, we never discussed about it. You know, like, we just write the songs and just jam it and then feel it, most importantly, you know, like, just the feeling when to stop, so we stop. So I guess the duration of the song, it's more of an experience of like watching us play, hearing us play. So that is the reason behind the duration of the song, I think. It's really natural.
Mundo would come in and I say like, oh, maybe it's too long. And then we had to like, all right. You know, because for us, we realized like, you know, yeah, being delicate, like the longer it is, the cooler you are, you know? Being
yeah,
polite.
Yeah. Mundo would say like, okay, let's cut some part of the song, but it is still long, so
Even like on our stage, sometimes when we can listen to some of the songs, like when are you gonna stop? You know, there's more parts because some of the songs suddenly like we change. There's this outro riff or like outro jam, right? Mm-mm. Like, hey, is this the same song? So you know, for us, I guess this is. We learned that it's hard. It's harder to make shorter songs than longer songs, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you can just like keep playing and do stuff, mm-hmm. but then it's so hard to know when to stop.
Plus, at that time, we have like 5 band members. So, 5 different sets of people. Mm-hmm. So, they have like their own inputs. So, it will be like longer than what you would hear.
Yeah, speaking of that, you guys are down to 3 members from 5 previously. But I've seen that you guys managed to pull off live shows with the help from friends. I noticed more recently, I think you had Faris on the keys from Lust and Shabil on the 6 strings as well. Will they be like regular sessionists, or are you guys always on the lookout for different people who are available if you guys have a live show?
I think we're sort of open about this. Although at the same time, we're always like, okay, let's, you know, we don't want just anybody. You know, we want like Shabil and Faris were two, like, you know, because we've toured with them, we've performed with them, so you know, we've hung out with them. They're close friends of ours, so it's like, okay, you know, the chemistry is already there. You know, I spoke to Shabil before about this, and Shabil, because he's never had a band for himself, and I mean, like, he's never had a band where he has to be like part of a group. Mm-mm. Which, you know, each like it gives his own input. No, he's, because he's always done his own thing, so he's never been in that situation where he is like, you know, he has to like sort of be diplomatic and stuff like that, right? So so he was like, you know, a bit reluctant about it, but he said, you know, I told him, let's just try, you know, we'll if he decides it's cool and, you know, it's nice, and we'll just go through with it, you know. But at this point, we're just like, if there is a guy who's like, you know, so passionate about this music and passionate about their instrument and stuff, and really wants to be like a regular of Ramayan, you know, like, you know, why not, you know, if they're really cool. But at this point, we're like, you know what, the three of us, we're basically multi-instrumentalists. Most of us can play the other person's part, you know, except, you know, like maybe, you know, I couldn't play drums that as well as Q can. But we're good with the trio, the dynamic trio right now. Yeah.
Now, the album artwork is something that I have to touch on as well, because I think it's amazing. At first glance, it reminded me of Todd Rundgren again. Something that, you know, a Wizard, a True Star kind of vibe, or maybe like one of those like Yes classic album covers where it's a bit Dungeons and Dragons, yeah, that kind of art. Who did the artwork for the album?
It's 2 people actually. It's on the hand. The basic idea, it came from our longtime collaborator Ifanal Jeffrey, aka Stone, our director for Odewiku and a lot of our projects. So he came up with this initial idea with a draft But then we wanted to get that grainy vintage feels, more of this prog kind of look. And he was not, I guess he was, it was limit, his capabilities were limited to that. And he couldn't find these finishing touches. So we had to look for a different person to sort of contribute that skill set, which then we found this amazing designer. His name is Muntasir Muhammad. Actually, apparently he's, I don't know, a lot of people don't really know him, but he's done works for like Drake and Kali Uchis.
Wow.
And all those people, yeah, overseas. So and we're just like looking around people who could do that. And then we found, we were just looking through in social media, like Instagram. And then we decided, okay, we wanted to go for this guy. And yeah, that's what happened. We met up with him once, told him what we wanted, and he came up with a few options, which became quite a headache for us to choose from in the end. But then we managed to finalize with this one. Yeah, so it's actually two people's work. So nice. Yeah,
it's a design that would definitely look good on tote bags, t-shirts, you know, whatever you put on it.
Yeah, we sort of aim for that too. Like, let's get something that's merchable, you know. Like, it's Dark Side of the Moon, you can instantly tell, you know, like, oh, that's Dark Side of the Moon, right? Mm. On the shirt, on tote bag, mug, whatever. So with his hand, probably, you know, we can tell it's Ramayan just from the look of it, right? Yeah, there was that sort of the aim.
So the full album is out now on only on CD, right? Vinyl, not yet, hopefully in the future, maybe cassettes as well.
Definitely.
But for streaming, it's not available on streaming platforms yet, but you guys will slowly roll out eventually, like one by one.
Yeah, because, you know, Spotify and streaming services, they don't really do much to, you know, people like us, musicians, we have to have like millions of plays to get something, right? So I guess the strategy with the label is to just emphasize on the sales of physical CDs and merch just to make money. Mm-mm. Because if you put it online, people they definitely wouldn't buy it, I guess. Some of them would probably just listen to it on Spotify, right? So I guess it's one way to market and to earn, you know. So just sell CDs and slowly put out singles, and when it's time, I guess, we just put it all out. Yeah.
Any future plans for the band? Any live shows that we should be like marking down in our calendars?
Like we're basically right now looking out for any opportunity that would come up suddenly. You know, recently the government has allowed busking, right? So now right now we're thinking, okay, maybe we can do something with that, but we don't know anything yet as of now. Hopefully there will be more content in social media, more content in our YouTubes. You know, like, to keep the audience entertained, but live shows, no.
So the best way right now to enjoy the full Ramayan the Pasiran Cakrawala experience is to buy the CD.
Yes, yeah. Fully audio, fully just, you know, how it was in the old days. You know, you're just experiencing it purely from your ears.
Where can listeners buy that CD? Where should they go to?
They can go to our Instagram. And our main page, there will be a link which will lead them to a site, and you can basically make your purchase from the site. Basically WhatsApp me directly. Then you can COD. My number is in our Instagram page. So that's, you know, publicly available for everyone. You know,
nothing to hide.
Nothing to hide, man. Just text me. You know, just not at night.
Record stores, right? You can go to record stores.
Yeah, and also you can go to record stores nearby. We have in around the country, in every state. Yeah.
Cool. Hey, thanks so much, guys, for joining me on the show. It was great talking to you guys.
Great talking, Othniel. I always wanted to talk to you, because Othniel, your voice is so iconic in BFM.
Sure not.
For real, man.
All right. Now this next song that we're about to play is only going to be out officially on streaming platforms tomorrow, on the 16th of March. But here's a sneak peek right here on BFM 89.9, Ramayan with Permulaan Cinta Intan. Stay tuned.
From local band Alien Lipstick Fire, that one was called Mongol Fang. Excellent stuff. One last tune for you before I'm heading out. Big thanks once again to the guys from Ramayan. If you missed out any parts of today's episode, the podcast should be out shortly on our website. That's at www.bfm.my/wavelength. That's where you can get all our previous shows as well. Closing off with a tune from jazz pianist Ganesh Bala. He just released his latest album called Solitude, and I'll be leaving you with a beautiful piece called Ibu. Until next time, you've been listening to Wavelength, bringing you the best sounds from the Asian region. My name is Ofnir Ting. Do take care and stay safe out there, right here on BFM 89.9. Here's Ganesh explaining more about his latest album, Solitude.
I think apart from writing original music, rearranging familiar pieces has to be one of the most fun thing to do as a pianist. And most of the time, it always starts with what if. So what if I take a pop song and play it as if it was written by Gershwin or even Mozart? My new album, Solitude, came from one of these what ifs, where I take my favorite tunes and approach them in a 19th century impressionistic style with a jazz twist to it. Almost as if Bill Evans or Chick Corea went back in time during the romantic period. During the on and off MCO, I just spent some time every day in the studio and started recording some favorite tunes of mine, like My Favorite Things, Cinema Paradiso, and even the famous P. Ramlee tune, Ibu. And I had a lot of fun recording and mixing the tracks by myself.